right, welcome to Happy Hour. The Crazy Horse Tavern on Kirkwood presents Happy Hour, the Glass in the Afternoon radio program, every Monday through Friday. This is Bloomington's Voice, 98.7 AM 1370. Wherever you're listening today at WGCLradio.com, I hope that, it's drier than what we're doing here in Bloomington. It has been raining all afternoon, and it's going to rain all evening and all night and all day tomorrow until about 6 o'clock. So we've put in, 3 or 4 hours? We've got another 24 to go, 25 to go. Flotation, your seat, the cushion underneath your seat can be used as a flotation device if necessary. The good news is the temperature is going to hover around 60. We can live with that. And maybe we'll see a thunderstorm or two tomorrow. Well, you'll have to find out. Pay attention. Follow along with the forecast at WGCLradio.com. And the forecast, I don't know if it's going to be good enough, but our Reds broadcast opener tonight is scheduled for 6:10. I keep hitting refresh on the Reds X Twitter and see what they have. And all they have right now is the lineup posted. So that's the good news. Reds and Brewers. 6:10 with Tommy Thrall and the Cowboy Jeff Brantley for a 6:40 Hunter Green first pitch, weather permitting. The Reds and Brewers are scheduled for 1 o'clock Thursday getaway day tomorrow. And again, it just doesn't look like it's going to happen, but we'll be optimistic. That's the good news. Weather is affecting plenty of sporting events, and the Masters, the 88th edition, the Augusta National Golf Club, will be, under the umbrellas tomorrow as well if they get any golf started. But the show will go on eventually, and to talk about it as we do before most major championships, we get caught up with the PGAtour.com's Supremo, the best in the biz for fantasy, gambling, and all the above. It is my great friend joining us live from Arizona, Rob Bolton. Hello, my friend. How are you today?
What's up, buddy? I know it's not sweeps week because I'm on.
We don't even have a broom.
Hey, by the way, at some point, maybe off air, describe this concept of rain to me, will you?
Yeah, Rob is in Arizona, kids. They don't. That's not included in your ticket price. We had
a little bit of rain this year, though.
Today is the 10th day of April. In the first 9 days and counting, we are at 4.5 inches. So we are. We are wet, my man, and
you're beating us by 4.5 inches.
Well, there you go. Hard to drag a tarp over the entire city, so we'll have to make do.
I learned long ago, I do not talk about the weather with people
not out there.
Back in the Midwest where I'm from after moving out here, but with you, I don't mind.
Weather is part of life, brother, as you know. As you know, and especially when we have, what time is baseball practice? Well, now it's inside. Well, what time are you doing this? Right. It's just the whole thing. It's a schedule disruptor, but we had perfect weather Monday for the great North American solar eclipse of 2024. It was primo. It was 78 nice. Degrees, no clouds. Nice. Totality was really cool. I don't know if I'd fly across the country for it, but I highly recommend it if it's near you. So there
Very
you go.
Cool.
Now, I don't want you to be Al Roker. I want you to be Rob Bolton. But the forecast for the Augusta National Golf Club tomorrow and even here in the next couple of hours does not look any good. We're here to talk about Masters Golf for you, the first major championship of the season, and all the interviews I listened to late last night, early this morning, trying to get caught up. I'm on overload. I had Eclipse to prepare for Monday, shows to do, Masters, it's a whole thing. And I was bummed out to hear how firm and fast the course was playing on Monday and Tuesday. That's what excites me. And now they're going to get all this rain tonight and rain tomorrow. And, well, that's going to change a lot of things, isn't it, my man?
There's only one Al Roker. There's only one Rob Bolton, and thank goodness for that. Everybody benefits. There's been no movement. A little bit of movement in terms of when the weather will end, but it's definitely going to be a factor first thing in the morning. Wouldn't be surprised if any fan of the tournament, any fan of the Masters, everything that surrounds the Masters, wakes up and you check it out and it's going to say weather delay. It's going to be pretty nasty. And that may not even include just storms. That's just the rain. Wind's going to blow. It's going to be the story of the morning. then I'm going to think they're going to have to do some cleanup, right? There's going to have to – there's just too many trees down there. With the wind blowing, they're going to have some cleanup. That'll take some time. Then they're going to have to get the golfers warmed up. Who knows? I joked that if there's a prop that there will not be a delay, the odds will not be attractive for you to invest in it because there's probably going to be a delay. So it goes, but it'll dry up. The wind will stick around through Friday. By Saturday, we'll have forgotten all about it. By Saturday dinner time, it'll all probably be caught up by then. There's enough daylight, small enough field. But they've got to get to the cut first, and that may not happen until Saturday. We'll see. So, the fun and joy of an outdoor sport, right?
That's
the way it goes.
And sadly, this forecast it doesn't show up at the Open Championship anymore. It seems to be perfect weather every time the Open Championship goes on. So, but here we are. And Augusta's been soft. It was soft in November of 2020 with the extra overseed. Matsuyama had the right end of the draw in 21 when he shot 65 on Saturday. We've had it seems like it's just we have not seen firm and fast. We want it to be firm and fast. The sub air can make it firm and fast, but maybe on Sunday, I don't know, maybe we get a little bit of that. Well, we can't do anything about it, but we can get our lineup set and ready to go. You mentioned the field. It is the 88th Masters. There are 89 players in the field. And, well, one of them's got a goofy left shoulder. He was the last man in. What a playoff last Sunday. What a back nine from Denny McCarthy. Both those guys, Akshay Bhatia and Denny McCarthy, are in the field. Last man in, first time at the major championships. Let's just get that out of the way to start with, buddy. The first-timers here just don't win. Now, some of them have had great results, but we always think, who's hot coming off the week before the Masters? Well, this time it's a 22-year-old.
You know what's funny about what happened on Sunday with Akshay Bhatia, the left-hander, the 22-year-old,
yeah,
to whom you were referring, is that it's a very familiar injury to me in the context of my father. He also a lefty for sports, righty for other things, but it would just slip out. It would come out. That's the way he would phrase it, and it was a genetic thing. And he lived it throughout his life. It would come out, especially like if we were playing, like he was throwing batting practice to me when I was a kid, or he was doing something in the house that required some extra activity with his left arm, and it would just slip out. He'd kind of yell about it, and then I'd help him slot it back in, and then like an hour later, he was fine. He couldn't really do any strenuous activity for the rest of the day, but he was pretty much fine. Like, it was no big deal. So to see Bhatia go through that, smaller dude,
he's as
younger,
thick as
of course.
He's as thick as his putter.
Yeah, and obviously then hit the shot. I'm like, yeah, I kind of expected that. I was not, based on what he was going through in real time, it seemed like, yeah, that makes sense. I don't know, to me, personally. So I'm not worried about him. It's, you know, one of the first-timers, as you mentioned. You know, three of them, in the 87 previous Masters have won the first two, and then Fuzzy in 79. That's the narrative everybody knows, except for Ludwig Aubert, who admitted yesterday he didn't know that. So I wrote about that today.
Saw that. Yeah. He's like, no, I didn't know. He's like, yeah, thank you. I didn't know that.
You're
thanks.
The guy.
Well, that's Indiana's claim to fame, Fuzzy Zeller, of course, the 79 Masters champion.
Yeah, so I kind of dig the fact that he doesn't know, he doesn't care, Aubert, that is. And but Bhatia, you know, we'll see. I mean, it's probably happened before. We haven't seen it, obviously, on a big stage like last week at TPC San Antonio. Maybe he's had to rest it longer than, you know, it's like Aubert with he's dealing with a knee situation that hasn't been widely reported except in Swedish golf media. So I included that in my work today. We'll see. I mean, would Aubert play this week if that wasn't the case with his knee? He had the worst round on Sunday in the easiest conditions. The field breezed by him on Sunday, still finished T14. Would Bhatia play this week with the way he's feeling? Probably. I'm like, you know, I think, it's the Masters, so of course he will. But if it wasn't the Masters, maybe he sits it out. Maybe. Not too worried about him. It's really about the learning curve at this place. I have one One debutant in my power rankings, it's Wyndham Clark.
Number 15.
I think 15. I have him at 15th. Got him in there because he's the U.S. Open champions, won three times. Yeah, 15. He's an incredible player. But you got to respect the learning curve. You've been doing this long enough. I have. Everyone else who's been doing this long enough understands that this just, you just cross off that lot of 20 as the pool from which the winner will emerge.
And winning is important in this, especially if you're in these pools or anything else, or you have a ticket or whatever it is, setting a lineup.
Right.
On all of that, it's not to say that they can't finish in the top 10. That has happened. We saw it last year with Sahith Theegala. He was in the top. Who else was in the top 10 last year? There was one other guy, first timer, was in the top 10. I don't have it.
Well, Theegala's the one I remember because he's back this year.
Correct.
So he's also in the power rankings, and he's up to 11th in my power rankings. So, I love the fact that this course rewards touch so much, and he's just loaded with it, right? It permeates his soul, this guy. He plays the golf course. He's a lot like Tony Finau in that way. Finau can play anywhere. Finau been around the block a few more times. Patrick Cantlay, also the same, not playing great upon arrival, but also has adapted. And we think of these guys as different. We think of them more as Finau, a long hitter, Patrick Cantlay, a machine, loves par, but they really play well pretty much everywhere,
Yeah. Despite
the outward appearance. And Theegala, what we learn about him is he's a field player. And he doesn't mind that at all. He loves to learn, and obviously he's really, really good. So
I had a chance to see him.
Top 10 last week. Will Zalatoris, two top 10s, two appearances. These guys, they're cracking the code pretty much out of the gate, you know. So we got to look at them among the younger talent. But all these guys have question marks around them in some way, shape, or form, too, and that's what makes it fun.
Rob Bolton, PGAtour.com. Head to golfbet.com or PGAtour.com/golfbet, and you can see his sleeper picks, his power rankings. You can see my horses for courses and some stats that we've thrown in and all the great writing. Boy, the team has been busy, 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 busy this week. And I want to go back to Theegala and the touch. Just a touch in general. I listened to Xander Schauffele yesterday talking about how the intricate lies, flighting the golf ball, spinning the golf ball. I think when you put together a lineup or a card this week, I'm looking for more artists than I am guys working the jackhammer like a Bryson DeChambeau or just to blast it and go find it. That's not how it works at Augusta National.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned DeChambeau. You know, we haven't seen him a lot just because he's moved to LIV Golf. And yet at Augusta National specifically, here's a guy who comes across as a scientist despite what he says. He's trying to learn other ways to perform. And you give him credit for that. But at Augusta National specifically, he's really tried to solve the equation, and that will require him to step away from the equation, you know, and be a golfer. Yeah, that's why he hasn't played well, and I think he's admitted some of that. But he applies too much of the analytical to the green reading specifically, and Augusta National is famous or infamous for not releasing the type of data that you can get in other places, and so DeChambeau has to figure it out on his own. And he's more of he acts more reactively than proactively when it comes to his golf game. So it's going to take him some time. If he finishes inside the top 10, I'll be madly impressed. I don't care how good he is, and he's good. But the way he goes about it, you know, that's the type of thing that I steer clear from. But at the same time, because of what we do, he presents really well as a contrarian because he's been playing pretty decently in LIV Golf, and he's obviously one of the best in the world. So if you're going to lean into a guy who maybe doesn't make sense on paper, others will not be playing him as often. The values would be better for you at the betting board. And there you go. Maybe dedicate part of your portfolio. Throw a unit at him for a top 10 and get lucky. You know. But expectations are lower for a guy like that for those reasons.
And I think you can, as you mentioned, Cantlay, you can lump him into that category as well because he's played 27 major championships. He knows what it takes. He's just not playing really well right now. He never plays tremendously great in Florida anyhow. So that's right. Another interesting, again, contrarian play because the Masters and major championships, these guys will tell you, and it's just not Brooks Koepka. We'll get to him here momentarily as well. But they set their schedule around trying to peak at these times, and if they're not peaking at these times, it doesn't mean they've completely forgotten how to play golf either.
Yeah, you're right about Cantlay in Florida. Like, the timing of the Masters rolling around after the Florida swing, not great for him specifically. But then I know in the back of his head, even though he's had a couple of missed cuts and seven appearances, Cantlay, that is, and only the one top ten, the fact that he knows Augusta is around the corner, and like, he knows he'll be able to be okay. He knows the cut favors him to make, you know, to play four rounds, and he knows it well enough, the course, all the experience. So there's a lot in his favor there. And that, you know, as you know, and as fans of the sport know, the guys who have played well here before tend to emerge on Sunday or at some point where they're going to make a little noise after the cut. And he's in that subset of this field of 89. Very easily. We expect him to make the cut, no matter if he had gone 0-for-4 on the Florida swing type of thing. So, yeah, I look like Jordan Spieth, same thing. He had a wild week in San Antonio, T10. I mean, he's Jordan Spieth, but you expect him to be top five, no matter how he's playing at Augusta National because of his record. So I wrote in the Golf Bit Insider on Wednesday here that, you know, it's the most predictive tournament in the world. I don't think you'd agree or disagree or anyone else in the business would disagree. And you know, you let these guys go play, let's go do their thing because we can overanalyze this like we are potentially now. But like, honestly, when the tournament is over, of course, Jordan Spieth finished inside the top 10. Of course, Patrick Cantlay had a top 20. Of course, Bryson DeChambeau finished outside the top 35. You know what I mean? Stuff like that'll just happen again because that's what happens in this tournament. So I the last comment about that is just that, for me, is like I look forward to this more as a fan. Like the team competitions, there's just so much that can go another way in the team competitions. It's almost silly to prognosticate. For this, it's like you don't even need me. Just look at the historical records, and you're going to be like 80% right all the time.
But we still need you.
So there's nothing wrong with that because I take 80% every week.
Oh, absolutely right. Rob Bolton is our guest. At Rob Bolton Golf on the Twitterverse, X, whatever the hell we're calling it right now. All of the content is at your fingertips. PGAtour.com/golfbet. Golfbet.com will get you there as well. And you can see all of the content we have thrown up for you. We'll take a break here in a couple minutes to get to the news and everything else. But in the second part of the show, we will get into the top dogs. We will get into the sleepers and some value plays you see for top 20, top 30, top 40, whatever is listed in the Insider today as well. But you can't mention Augusta National without five-time champion Tiger Woods. I know we have so many casual fans that are swooping in for maybe the first time this season, or they just make it to the majors, or maybe just the Masters is their thing. Woods is in the field. Woods is playing. He has a very interesting, well, record to perhaps set this week for most consecutive cuts made. Where does he rank in the do or don'ts this week? We know he's fused together. We know he hurts all the time, but he's got every shot in the bag to get it around 7,555 yards of Augusta National Golf Club.
So when Tiger Woods speaks, I basically tune him out.
Really?
He just never teaches me anything. We know what he's going to say. For as glossy as he is, for as well known and historical as his record is, it will always be, he never really says anything. Like this is the knock on the guy, and like that's on purpose. Like I don't discredit him for that. I understand it.
Hides behind the wall.
There's really nothing to learn. And you know, I think of just the things that we know, the constants of how hilly Augusta National is, and that his body will never be the same, and he doesn't play very often. And yeah, the cut is in his favor, but you know, I joked that if there was a prop for him to finish 36 holes, it might be even money. That's where my expectation is. I'll say this in the context of the odds: I have him missing the cut at -135. When I started the work for analyzing that bet, he was at minus 150. So it's actually gotten a little bit longer in that. So if you bet it yesterday, you're going to make a little more money on it today if you went and bet the same thing. Not a lot, I mean, but it's a bet. So I was surprised that it actually is available. But he's always going to talk positively. If you're going to ask him, you think he can win? I mean, it's just a stupid question. He's going to always say yes. He wouldn't be there if he didn't. And another thing, and I wrote about this in my analysis of Danny Willett, who's returning from shoulder surgery. These guys aren't taking spots from anybody else in the field. There are no alternates. So, of course, they're going to go play, even if they felt any sort of pressure internally about potentially taking a spot from someone else who's healthy and maybe just missed, you know, as the first alternate. So Woods is playing because he can play and he's not taking a spot. I think that's part of it, even though everybody would say he's Tiger Woods, he can play wherever he wants, and that's part of it too. Still a business. He's still a professional athlete with some pride. But I just ignore everything he says unless it's funny because other than that, there's really nothing to learn.
The question about whether anybody could shoot 69 here. Yeah, if you moved it back to the members' tees and 10 years ago, we could do that. That'd be great, but that's not happening. So he'll tee off tomorrow. We'll come back after the news and talk about the draw, what we think is the better time with a smaller field. The inflection in the draw, it does matter, and we'll take a look at that. We'll also take a look at your top sleepers and, of course, the top of the power rankings. It is Rob Bolton at Rob Bolton Golf on the Twitterverse joining us from PGAtour.com. We'll take a quick time out. The Crazy Horse Tavern on Kirkwood. Well, you'll be an inside today, not a patio day like it was on Monday when it was 77 and perfect. They'll take great care of you. They open daily at 11 o'clock for lunch, dinner, late night, and they'll have all the golf on, all the hoops, all the baseball, all weekend long. The Crazy Horse Tavern on Kirkwood. Happy hour continues after Diane Daly's news headlines next. It is Life in the Fast Lane. If you're looking to update your floors, your shower, your backsplash, call our friends at Carpets Plus Color Tile. They have the largest selection of Karastan flooring in South Central Indiana. Carpets Plus Color Tile, Liberty Drive across from Menards. It is raining incessantly in Bloomington and will continue to do so for the next 24 hours. So any outdoor activities that were officially scheduled are off the books for today. Keep an eye on your favorite social media channels, depending on where you were heading this afternoon. And the only thing you need if you're outside, unlike the people just getting off the 535 bus, grab an umbrella. That would be a good idea. Reds should be on the radio at 6:10. If not, they will tell you their plans for tonight. The radar does not look favorable in Cincinnati as well. It's our broadcast season opener here on WGCL. So we'll let Tommy Thrall and the Cowboy Jeff Brantley get you sorted out before they tell you about plans for today and possibly tomorrow. Reds and Brewers are scheduled to go at 1 o'clock tomorrow. The radar, it's just green. It looks like the Masters. It's green with a little bit of yellow in it, and that's not any good. Thankfully, Rob Bolton is here from PGAtour.com. We are going to help stack your cards, get your tickets written, give you some sleepers, some long shots, some quality activity, and also talk about the best players. But the par 72 is different this year. Last year, the big change was hole number 13 in the new tee box. This time, another par 5, but this is on the front side. Number 2 and number 4 and number 6 have some changes. Welcome back, my good friend. They don't sit still very well at Augusta National, and that's good for the game. Not a huge difference this year, but they look at the data too, don't they?
First of all, it's kind of cool that the, although not fun for the lifestyle currently in Bloomington, Indiana, it's kind of cool that the weather radar is on brand for Masters Week, right? The colors.
That's it.
So, that's a good way to look at it. Be positive, optimistic. Because once you're inside, then you can, you know. So the second hole is 10 yards longer. You know, the commentary has been, some of the guys have been thinking it was pushed left a little bit. You got to sweep it around the corner, dogleg left, big time dogleg left. And it's just further back. And
they just showed a graphic on TV, and it is left, but it's left like two paces left. Let's not get carried away.
Yeah, and they basically brought the bunker into play for most of the field. So, you know, it'll maybe, I mean, it's already a hard hole, you know, if you don't hit the fairway. So we'll see what happens. I'd be curious. Like last year with number 13, you know, I dug in a couple of three, two or three years of data on that, and the hole was harder But it was, or that was the hardest par five on the course, but it was actually a little bit easier from the previous year. But it was, the course overall was easier. So relatively speaking, it is harder. But again, I mean, they needed to do that. And Fred Ridley said today that the runner not a room. there's only so much physical space in the universe for that course. Yeah. But yeah, somehow you think Augusta National will figure out a way to purchase additional universe, right?
They will.
They seem to figure out a way. So there's some rhetoric going on there. You know, they'll figure it out. But yeah, the course is primarily the same. They're always tweaking. I mean, every golf course has some change of some sort. But nothing too major this year, I'd say. Not really too concerned about any of that.
And we have to remember, major championship golf should be hard. This should not be a 20-under Dustin Johnson in November. That's what made Tiger Woods' 18-under 1997 so impressive, because it shouldn't be that easy. Won by a million shots, Jordan Spieth makes 28 birdies. He shoots 18-under par in 2015 to tie the tournament record. No one's ever gone lower than 63. Well, there are some unbelievable talents in the field this week. Let's get to the power rankings at pgatour.com/golfbet. Rob Bolton is the author, and we talked about Wyndham Clark and a little bit of Sahith Tagala and Jordan Spieth there. That's the bottom third. The top third, we'll get there in a minute, but there's some people that stand out in that 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 range. We'll start with the Englishman Matt Fitzpatrick. I always like to lean on guys that have already won a major championship, and I know that number hasn't always held up here recently, but Fitzpatrick won't be thinking about how his life changes. He should just take that newfound power, keep it in the middle of the sprinkler line, and hopefully let his short game do the work.
Yeah, that'll work. he's such a great player on the biggest stages. As long as he's healthy and there doesn't seem to be anything distracting him in a negative way, plug and play, man. Number 9 in the power rankings, well-deserved, playing really well of late. He'll have his stretches, but they're very short stretches where he doesn't play very well. And, you know, look, that happens to everybody. Everybody's going through that. And the fact that he's picked off a major already, the 22 U.S. Open, you know, I mean, it's like, this guy was built for major championship golf. He has the game for it. He has enough length now, because that's basically the most recent weapon in his bag. It's not even new and improved anymore. It's just improved and continues to get better. You're mentioning this should be hard. You know, it's still a par 72 that rewards good play, and it's fair. Ultimately, at the end of the day, you hear it all the time, and that's exactly what it needs to be. And with the weather coming tomorrow, the biggest question will be how they set the course up so that everybody gets a fair shot in the first round. That's one of the arguments that LIV Golf has had, is it's a shotgun start. Everybody's playing basically during the same weather conditions when weather isn't, you know, perfect, and they're out there for 4, 4.5 hours, whatever it is. This isn't that. The Masters, everybody goes off one all day long, and they're probably not going to finish on Thursday. So, I mean, that's part of the rub of the green as well. And look at Danny McCarthy last week coming out of the wrong side of the draw to get into that playoff on Sunday. Hey, you play really well. You score that well on a back nine of any tournament. The course is there for it. Go get it. You know, it's not like it's supposed to roll over for anybody. So, and that's supposed to be a difficult golf course too, TPC San Antonio. Whereas Augusta National, really, when conditions are favorable, it really doesn't look as difficult, but the scoring dispersion is so vast, in part because of some of the things that we've been talking about, the experience and understanding where to miss and where to want to be in the fairway on approach and these types of things that really, really matter, the nuance, the minutia. Well, Fitzpatrick has the experience, he has the game, and he would be the type of person who would surprise nobody if he picked off the green jacket this week.
Rob Bolton is our guest, pgatour.com, golfbet.com, at Rob Bolton Golf. Get all the information. It's there. Cram for your final. Procrastinators, rejoice. It's all right there. You can have it tuned in by 8 o'clock tomorrow morning when Eric Van Rooyen pegs it. And, I heard Xander Schauffele say something very interesting to your point you were just making about scoring in his interview, and I know you were listening as well. You know, the back nine at Augusta National, when you get to Amen Corner, gives you a chance, but you have to be in position by the time you get there to take advantage of that chance. Well, Xander Schauffele has been front and center. 2019, he's been second, what, twice? I can't remember. He's a ton of top tens here. He plays great. He just hasn't got it over the finish line. But every major championship he has sniffed around, that scar tissue has to pay off at some point, right?
Yes.
Yes. When?
How
tell me
now?
When.
Now.
Hurry
no,
up.
No, wait. The U.S. Open.
Yeah, exactly.
No. I mean, this guy, like, think about just the macro of it. Like, if you didn't, I don't know, it's just sort of the simplicity of, like, there's always going to be a guy who is at the top of the best who have never won a major. But then, like then there's really good players who just don't win very often or as often as they project or present. And he's, like, at the top of both of those lists right now. And it's not a knock. It's just a fact. And, hey, I'd like to be in that list. You know, that means I'm pretty good. So it's all about perspective, right? It's about maturity. It's about comportment. It's about understanding that. And you know, he kind of defines in a way, he doesn't know this, of course. My perspective always been building from the ground up rather than from the top down. I go from 0 to 100, not 100 to 0. And everything, almost everything that I do in life, it's like at a golf term, everybody starts, everybody's reset to 0. And then you go from there. You take the next shot and see what happens. And I think of, okay, Xander hasn't won a major, fine. But, like, a top 10 is a reasonable goal for this guy. So a top 10 for the guys in the power rankings is the goal. When you get to it into thinking about a top 5, now you're obviously narrowing that in half. Ignore ties for a second, just for the sake of the conversation. Sometimes that requires a little bit of luck. Good luck, bad luck. Depending, you know, good luck for you and maybe bad luck for someone else you can't control. And then winning is a reason for a celebration. He's had wins, not in a major. He knows what it's like to win. And, yes, he'll pick one off at some point. And like, yeah, that's why there's always that conversation. Best to never have won a major. He's probably that guy right now. Probably. You know, he's definitely, if you can have a draft, he probably goes number one in a draft of only that subset of the field. So confidence remains high. He's doing nothing wrong to deserve otherwise.
And at some point, he'll have to kick the door open and take it. And maybe that's at Valhalla. Maybe that's at Troon. Maybe that's at Pinehurst number 2. Well, or it might be this week. Well, 16 times we've tried this. The 10th time now for a career Grand Slam. The prep is different. The irons are new. 66. No, I don't think any bogeys on Sunday to close out at Valero to win the B flight. Well, Rory McIlroy looking to make his history at Augusta National.
Yeah, you know, 10 times now.
That's amazing. I'm old. That's what makes me.
That is, like, I feel like he just, I don't know.
Remember when he won at Quail Hollow on his 21st birthday?
Right. He's 34 now.
That's what I was getting at, right?
I kind of like the fact that he's laughing about it. It's no longer, at least outwardly, seems to be a stressful thing. I think that's good.
Andy's off the LIV, fight, and that's going to help.
Oh man, when he cleared his deck last year, everything went really well inside the ropes, you know. And he's admitted he looked around. He's like, hey, why isn't anybody, you know, locking arms with me on this? And he's like, well, I gave it a shot, you know. And when he started talking favorably about Jon Rahm and. Like, yeah, obviously his tune has changed and he's needed to move on. I think when I think about the audience for our work, you know there's a large portion of it that is younger, in the 20s, never married, no kids, never owned a home. You know, the big stuff in life. 20s are great. I mean, 20s are awesome. But you don't know enough yet. You know, you're fully formed by 25, 26, what have you. And then everybody kind of does their own thing after that, or whatever. I mean, we all have our past. McIlroy's 34 now. He's set in his prime. He has now a humility about him that he didn't have when he tried this the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time. Now he's in his 10th time, and he kind of throws his hands up in the air and says, well, I know I'm good enough to win this thing. Haven't done it yet. You know what? And that's okay. And guess what? He just might win because he's still out there qualifying, right? So I dig the whole – we hear this all the time when guys just say they just don't care anymore or they don't think about it anymore. Boom. They have a week of their life. Steven Yeager talked about this when he won a couple weeks ago. He just sort of got out of his own way. He just let it happen. Granted, he needed a Scotty Scheffler to miss from 5.5 feet.
That right. Very helpful, very helpful.
Yeah, at the right time, at the wrong time for Scheffler.
It took Garcia 19 times to win it. It took Marco Mara 14 times to win it. It took Phil a handful of times to win it. He's not the, he's not some kind of complete, unbelievable outlier, so... I'm with you. He's my one and done this week. Fade him as necessary.
Go for it, man. I mean, you think about other guys who of his contemporary a little bit. He's newer than like Hunter Mahan, Brad Faxon. Never won a major.
Yeah.
Really, Lee Westwood never won a major. Colin Montgomery. I mean,
it's good players. Really good players.
Yeah. So
really good players.
I just love Rory's mindset most of all, and that he went out and played really well last week at a course he hadn't seen in a while.
Yeah, the new
that. He played well enough to win most other years.
New know? Schedule, new something. Shake it up. Do something differently. We got about 5 minutes left. I want to get to the rest of the top four and get a sleeper or two in as well. Hideki Matsuyama, is he healthy? It seems like, is he? He's not. He is. His results seem that he's healthy. That's always the big cloud that hangs over the 2021 champion.
He's the Tom Brady of the PGA Tour. Always on the injured list. Right?
Outstanding.
Always on the injured list.
That's good.
And then, boom, wins Genesis, right? And then goes crazy after that. I'm not worried about Hideki. He's number four in the power rankings. I was just waiting for him to keep it up. I was looking so forward to slotting him pretty high, and there he is. Today or yesterday when we recorded Talk of the Tour with Paul Hodowanik, he asked me at the end, Rob Bolton's stamp of approval, pick one thing. I said I sign off on all of it. However, not to dodge the question, Hideki Matsuyama this week.
I like it. Very nice.
Love the fit. Love the time. Yeah,
been there, done that. He doesn't get caught up in any of the stuff that goes along with it either. He just goes to play golf, and that's probably what you want to do in every major championship. Brooks Koepka, nobody likes to smoke more than he does. I'll show up. I've got 99% of the field beat. There's only a handful of guys I got to get to. I'm healthy. And last year, well, he was your 54-hole leader by two shots and did not have a very good Sunday. This is what gets him out of bed in the morning.
I'm surprised we've gone this long, and he really doesn't have a nickname.
I think people are scared of him to give him one.
He like Black Hat or just something fun, just something. He's such an antagonist, and
he's the Black Hat,
the
right?
Part
you're
of me
right.
That loves that about the athlete who just doesn't give a damn and goes out and explains why he doesn't care that you don't give a damn.
Well, now he's got a kid. Like, he's soft. He got a baby now. He's all soft, soft and mushy.
True. Yeah, I take it all back. Yeah, it's a major. It's Brooks Koepka. He's feeling healthy. The rhetoric is backing it up. And he's never won a Masters yet.
Just remind him of that. That'll get him angry.
Chip on the shoulder. You know.
That's right. Well, he needs to have one because he seems to play better when that happens. That's like Brian Harmon. Somebody asked me, well, why don't you have a mention of Brian Harmon this week? I said, well, in his press conference, he said there's too much love around here for him. He likes getting booed and yelled at, and that's not going to happen this week. But John Rahm, that's an interesting one. I know the Augusta National Golf Club, they embrace their champions, but this time last year, John was tooting a different horn and went on to win. Seve's birthday, all the great feel-good stories there. Then it was, well, I'm going to go take my talents to South Beach. The defending champion, if he does successfully defend, will join Jack Nicklaus, Nick Faldo, and Tiger Woods. That's a pretty exclusive club. Not saying that Rahm can't. I'm more of a history buff than I am a let's make new history.
What I love is that he did not know that he was the first European, and only European, obviously, to win both the U.S. Open and the Masters
right.
in a career. And you know how much he appreciates history, how much he is thoughtful about his place in the game and his still youthful career. Defending the Masters is difficult. If Scottie Scheffler wasn't in the field, Rahm is probably number one anyway.
Right.
But Scottie Scheffler, number one in the power rankings, is in the field, not defending. So he's the easy number one. But you could make a case for 1-1A with Scheffler and Rahm.
Will you take Scheffler?
Actually, the curious thing is Rahm playing LIV Golf now, the preparation is different. It's possible that that may have some sort of impact on how well he or how he performs and if he acknowledges that.
And the other thing, Scheffler's history, the betting favorite here, is not won since 2005, 19 straight years. So you can always find a little angle in and a little angle out. I don't think we need to tell anybody about Scotty Scheffler and how good he is. My goodness, he's the only person that's beaten him in three tournaments is Stefan Jaeger.
Right. You know, Scheffler's, by the way, is now as long as 5-1. He's been down to 4-1, 4.5-1.
You know why?
5-1 at BetMGM. Rush to the window.
You know why?
I didn't know that nugget about the favorite winning 19 years ago.
Yeah, but Ben Everill.
At the same time, favorites tend to win, you know, anyway. Not the favorite, but shorter odds guys.
And for our people listening out there, Scheffler has said he is on the record on the par 3 course today again, told Sean McDonough, if my wife goes into labor, I'm leaving. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. So it's not likely, but it's just
expect anything other.
Don't be surprised. Give me an outsider, a sleeper, if you will. It's an exclusive field, but there are some guys that are flying underneath the radar that can make or break some of these pools when you stick a guy from this category in here or there. Give me two names I should look at. In our last 2 minutes together, I'm getting sad.
Don't get sad.
Well, hurry up. I got 2 minutes. Let's go. It's a hard break.
Well, Corey Connors, 3 top tens in the last 4 Masters. He's plus 450 last time I looked for a top 10 in this week's Masters. Playing well enough. You know, we know who he is, tee to green. Hasn't had a top 10, though, in 8 months. Probably plays a little bit into the fact that he's 4.5-1 for a top 10 at last check. But for all lineups, he's going to make the cut, and he's going to come pretty damn close to a top 10. So that's an easy one. Outside of that, you know, I think it's really curious that Torbjørn Olesen is plus 600 as the top Scandinavian. The reason I bring that up is you're dealing with Ludvig Åberg's knee and Victor Hovland's what's going on with Victor Hovland these days. So those two are the favorites in that category. Nikolai Højgaard is the fourth of the Scandinavians, but Olesen's coming in very quietly with a top 15 last week, who's played very well in 3 previous Masters, has enough experience, and this DP World Tour crew from 2023 to 2024 has played exceptionally well this year. Already had 1 winner with Matthew Pavone. Olesen's been flying under the radar. So for 6-1 in a group of 4 with question marks elsewhere, I love that play.
God, and I wrote about that earlier today, too. Now my buddies that are listening are going to jump in. Great. Just great.
You're assuming they're listening.
No, they're not. I know they're not. They never listen except when we get to our live draft and they're rattling off guys in a 156-man field that they have no business looking at. Oh, where'd you get that from? Well, Bolton had it. Yeah, that's right. He did. That's exactly right. You're the best. Thanks
they
for making time
very
for
well,
us.
Though, so that, you know, I give
well,
them credit.
I hope so. Those subscriptions keep flying in at GolfBet, PGAtour.com, at Rob Bolton Golf on the Twitter. Thank you so much for your time. I will book you for Valhalla if you can make time as well. Again, thanks for jumping the listenership this week. That's great.
Hey, buddy. You're the best. Always a pleasure. Thanks again for the invite.
Check
talk again soon.
Is in the mail. Thanks, pal.
Beautiful.
Rob Bolton, PGAtour.com, the man. The man. Simple as that. Go read it all. I know you guys like to cram for the test. Those of you who've procrastinated. Simple. GolfBet.com, PGAtour.com/GolfBet, at Rob Bolton, Golf on X, and all of the information is right there. You can read my stuff, too, at PGAtour.com. Horses for courses. and some stats go along with that, and I read a couple other pieces as well. It's not about me. It's about Bolton, people. Gee whiz. All right, we're getting out of here. Reds on the radio, 6:10. Yes, that's 12 and a half minutes from now. We'll see what the radio report is from the weather in Cincinnati. Tommy Thrall, the Cowboy, Jeff Brantley. We're back tomorrow. Have a great Wednesday. Good luck with your Masters pick. The Reds baseball season opener on our airwaves is next.